Chapter 67. In less than 20 minutes, they were ready. Rod and Big King were stripped down to singlets and bathing trunks. They wore canvas tennis shoes to protect their feet, and the hard helmets on their heads were incongruous against the rest of their attire. The rubber dinghy was ex-naval disposal, a 9-foot air-filled mattress, so light that a man could lift it with one hand. Into it was packed the equipment they would need for the task ahead. A waterproof bag contained the battery blaster, the reel of insulated wire, the pliers, gloves, and a spare lantern. Lashed to the eyelets along the sides of the dinghy were two coils of light nylon rope, a small crowbar, an axe, and a razor-sharp machete in a leather sheath. To the bows of the dinghy were fastened a pair of looped nylon towing lines. "What else will you need, Rod?" Dmitri asked. Rod shook his head thoughtfully. "That's it, Dmitri. That should do it." "Right." Dmitri beckoned, and four men came forward and carried the dinghy into the waiting cage. "Let's go," said Dmitri, and followed the dinghy into the cage. Big King went next, and Rod paused a second to look up at the sky. It was very blue and bright. Before the onsetter could close the shutter door, a silver-clad Rolls-Royce came gliding onto the bank. From the rear door emerged first Harry Hirschfeld and then Terry Steiner.
"Ironsides!" roared Harry. "What the hell is going on?"
"We've hit water," Rod answered him from the cage.
"Water? Where did it come from?"
"Beyond the Big Dipper."
"You drove through the Big Dipper?"
"Yes."
"You bastard, you've drowned the Sonder Ditch," roared Harry, advancing on the cage.
"Not yet, I haven't," Rod contradicted.
"Rod!" Terry was white-faced beside her grandfather. "You can't go down there."
She started forward. Rod pushed the onsetter aside and pulled down the steel shutter door of the cage. Terry threw herself against the steel mesh of the guard barrier, but the cage was gone into the earth.
"Rod," she whispered,
and Harry Hirschfeld put his arm around her shoulders and led her to the Rolls-Royce. From the back seat of the Rolls, Harry Hirschfeld was conducting a kangaroo court trial of Rodney Ironsides. One by one, he called for the line managers of the Sonder Ditch and questioned them. Even those who were loyal to Rod could say little in his defense, and there were others who took the opportunity to level old scores with Rodney Ironsides. Sitting beside her grandfather, Terry heard such a condemnation of the man she loved as to chill her to the depths of her soul. There was no doubt that Rodney Ironsides, without head office sanction, had instituted a new development so risky and contrary to company policy as to be criminal in concept.
"Why did he do it?"
muttered Harry Hirschfeld. He seemed bewildered. What could he possibly achieve by driving through the Big Dipper? It looks like a deliberate attempt to sabotage the Sonder Ditch. Harry's anger began to seethe within him.
The bastard! He has drowned the Sonder Ditch and killed dozens of men.
He punched his fist into the palm of his hand.
I'll make him pay for this. I'll break him, so help me God, I'll smash him. I'll bring criminal charges against him. Malicious damage to property, manslaughter, culpable homicide. By Jesus, I'll have his guts for this.
Listening to Harry ranting and threatening, Terry could keep silent no longer.
It wasn't his fault, Pops. Truly it wasn't. He was forced to do it.
Ha! Snorted Harry. I heard you at the pithead a few minutes ago. Just what is this man to you, Missy, that you spring to his defense so nobly?
Pops, please believe me. Her eyes were enormous in her pale face.
Why should I believe you? The two of you are obviously up to mischief together. Naturally, you will try to and protect him. Listen to me at least, she pleaded.
And Harry checked the run of his tongue, and breathing heavily, he turned to face her.
This better be good, young lady, he warned her.
In her agitation, she told it badly, and halfway through, she realized that she wasn't even convincing herself. Harry's expression became more and more bleak until he interrupted her impatiently.
Good God, Teresa, this isn't like you. To try and put the blame for this onto your own husband, that's despicable. To try and switch the blame for this, it's true, as God is my witness.
Terry was almost in tears. She was tugging at Harry's sleeve in her agitation.
Rod was forced to do it. He had no option. You have proof of this?
Harry asked dryly. And Terry fell silent, staring at him dumbly. What proof was there?